He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to this week's show of Car Keys with Jada Markin, Robin Leach. It is moving towards predictability. We may have snow to talk about in a future show fairly shortly. If the weather gets cold enough to create snow conditions, it might create dangerous driving conditions. We've talked about dangerous driving conditions often on this show, and from wet leaves to wet roads to treadless tires and all the other things. But snow will be a new experience, and one of the things I like to talk about in wintertime with tires that people are the people that put studs in their tires. I am not particularly a fan of studded tires. I don't know what Jay's going to say in, but we'll let him say something in a minute. But I noticed them mostly in the spring when they should be off the cars, when they're clattering down the roads, possibly eating up our asphalt surfaces, because people have not had their studded tires removed. And that's when I think about, why do you have to have studded tires? J.D., is there a reason to have studded tires? Go ahead.
Not in this neck of the woods.
That's what I was thinking. You know, if you were in Alaska with ice or ice on the road all the time, I would think studded tires would be very good to have, and not. I just consider them a nuisance for road damage. That's what I think about with studded tires. And I don't know if they actually are there times studded. Have you ever driven a car with studded tires, Jay?
To
let our audience know about whether they are not as good at stopping in some certain situations?
Well, yeah. In most situations, they're not. They're not meant to be driven on anything but ice. And even then, you know, modern winter tires can do the job
as well as studded tires.
In most circumstances.
I would agree with that.
It's a little moot point. There's not too many people driving around with stud tires, so I don't think we need to.
That is true. Okay. I used to have a regular weekly alert about vehicle safety recall updates that the National Highway Transportation Safety Group puts out when they find that there are things that the manufacturers need to do to communicate with their owners of their vehicles. I have noted that in recent times the safety recalls have been minimal in terms of importance, and it's still so today. And I have not generally brought this up on a regular basis, but to fill in some of our daily, this week's show, the ones that are seem to be happening most now are rear view camera image failures, and Lucid has a recall out. Mazda. No, doesn't have it, but they have a front suspension bolt not tightened properly, I guess, during assembly on some of their models. Not to mention them, they're not enough out there. Fuel filler cap seals may leak fuel. I mean, these are little things. Chrysler has high voltage battery may fail and cause fire. Well, yes, we get to electric vehicles, and we get to the electric batteries, and periodically they are a problem.
So, what is the deal with Jeep? You're a Jeep owner. Have you gotten any? Well, no, you don't have hybrid or electric.
I don't have the hybrids. We got the Jeep Grand Cherokee has the hybrid version, and a Wrangler has the hybrid version. And,
but have you talked with any of the dealers? I mean, you're always hovering around.
Yeah, I haven't talked to any dealers to find out whether they indeed have ever had a problem on their lots with the cars that come in off the truck and they wait to sell them. And I do not know what causes the fires to start. but Rivian's apparently had a major fire at a production plant or a dealer plant that may make the, I hadn't seen it. But that makes you really wonder about whether you should own an electric vehicle.
No, I don't think it makes you. Want
but in general,
own one. It does trigger the question of
safety.
And where to park them, and what are the consequences. And, I know that, in the cities where they have parking garages and electric vehicles parked in them, there is a concern of if they do catch fire inside a building, what the intensity and the heat of the fire can cause structural damage to the building. Obviously, that is a serious concern.
That is a very serious concern. I'm not aware. Jay, you go to New York a lot. Have you? Has there been an in-garage fire of an electric vehicle, notably in publicity?
I don't know,
news?
But I know that the concern is there, and so, I think moving forward, there are going to be building codes that may be different. And the cars need to become safer. I mean, yes, we hear stories of electric cars igniting, but as I've said before, we've had gasoline-powered cars burst into flames too in the past. I mean, the Ford Pintos were notorious. Jeep had a problem with their Wrangler, Grand Cherokee a few years ago. And I don't know if you remember this. This is not that old. We're talking, in the late 90s, early 2000s, where the only fix they came up with was to add a hitch to the car, because that in effect was creating a secondary or primary rear bumper to protect the gas tank a bit more. But
Pinto or the Jeep?
The Jeep. And
okay.
And when you looked at those old cars and they had the gas tanks.
In the back, yes, and you could see them hanging low if you were following one.
With the metal straps rusting and,
Right.
So, yes, there's an issue with electric cars and the risk of fire, but hopefully less and less of them will burst into flames.
Well, back to the vehicle safety recalls. The list I'm looking at as I'm doing this, as we're doing this show, is just basically minimal stuff. Seat anchor bolts may fail in a truck, and Mazda Toyota's entire line of vehicles from 2022 to 2025 or six even is listed in this week's recall list with back to the rear view camera image may not display, which is basically saying if you put the car in reverse or you may not get a backup view, and it seems to be occurring in several car lines periodically. And does this pose the question of the following: with all this technology, are we going to see dashboards start failing and rear view cameras not working as they age, or are they just a wiring situation that is just happening?
I have a 2015 Volkswagen Touareg. And
yes.
It has a backup camera. It has some modern functions, but, the technology is not what things are now. Like, I don't have CarPlay Connect. There's no crash safety feature on the car. But, there was a decent rear-view camera. And it stopped working, and of course I did like everybody else and went online on YouTube and tried to figure out what the problem was and could figure it out. So the local shop where I bring the car to get serviced diagnosed a bad sensor in the rear bumper, and that automatically triggers the shutdown of the
camera.
Rear-view camera. So it's not a huge deal. No, because it takes a $50 part and $100 to paint it the color of the bumper, if I want it not to have a black dot in my white bumper. And we'll get to colors in a minute if we want. But my plan is to get it fixed. Obviously, it's not a big deal. But yes, you're right. There are going to be issues with all the electronics. But I also think that they're more reliable than they were before, and I think we know.
Well, to that end, to reverse my complaint part of the comment, Bob, I will say that in my 2015 Jeep or Cherokee, which is a base model, but it's still got an electronic screen for the speedometer and the tachometer and various other things there. There has been no failure in that in what is now an 11-year-old vehicle going forward. And I don't know whether we're going to have... So I don't know whether there's going to be ensuing failures of these of all these cars with these electronic devices and things going forward, or whether it's just going to be a, like you said, it's going to be a connection problem somewhere in the line of connectors that go through vehicles from front to rear, or so, from engine compartment to the dashboard inside that corrode and fail on that basis, as opposed to the whole display failing.
So, speaking of recalls, I brought two cars to emissions in the last week or so. Both of them were overdue, and I'll get to that in a second, too. But along with your emissions test result, you now get, and I don't think we used to get that, a little recap of all the ongoing recalls and safety issues that may be an issue with the particular car and associated with the VIN number. So if you've missed
you get that at the emission station?
Yes, correct.
Where is it? This did not happen, listeners, audience. This did not happen to me, and I've just had two recent vehicles go through emissions in our local emissions area, and I did not get anything but whether it was a failed slip or a pass slip. But
well,
nothing came through
cars,
mentioning all the recalls.
Well, maybe there were no outgoing, recalls out there, and if there's no issues, you don't get a little recap.
Okay.
Both of my cars had a little recap sheet, two pages actually.
What did they involve, or what did they illuminate?
One is on my Ford Transit Connect, is a door latch issue. Which I guess I should get looked at, but I also figure it's not a huge deal. But that's also the thing is you know, a lot of us in these in our area take our cars to not dealerships. So if we're sloppy about, you know, filing our notices when we get them from dealerships, the local shops may not see the outstanding recalls. On the other hand, if that information goes to the emissions testing stations, I'm sure that is available through their whatever software and service they use, whether it's Carfax or anybody else.
Did it come on your passing slip, or was it a separate printout that they handed you?
Yeah, it's a separate printout. It doesn't affect the pass or fail test. It's a courtesy notification.
Right.
Which is a good thing.
Interesting.
Which also, begs the question of, is it really a good thing that we don't have any testing anymore, other than emissions? I'm happy we don't, because it's a pain in the neck to go and get our cars tested for safety issues and get failed for whatever reason. But, the bigger picture is we probably should have some testing.
I want to chime in about... something that bothers me about cars that have taillights on one end or the other that are out. And Jay's talking about thinking about whether it would be good to have safety checks on cars like you have emissions checks every 2 years, where you would have the whole car gone over, and especially with respect to whether the lighting is all functioning properly on these cars. Because at nighttime now, when vehicles come down in the dark with one light out or one light on, let's say, you can't tell whether it's a vehicle or a motorcycle in many cases, or the turn signal doesn't work going one way, or a brake light doesn't work and you don't know whether it's out or whether and people don't seem to be getting them fixed in a timely fashion. Whereas if you had these cars inspected for this kind of failure, they would fail the test and be either cited for not getting their registration renewed in a timely fashion if it wasn't fixed, or whatever was could be done to enforce the owner to get the non-operating part of their vehicle fixed.
Look at the bright side, no pun intended.
Bright lights. Yes, bright lights.
Two lights rather than four is better than no lights. But anyway, all right, let's move on. One-pedal driving, for those of us who drive electric cars, and I don't very often, or hybrids, the concept is, and Robin, have you driven one-pedal drive cars with the accelerator that when you lift off, the car slows down, whether it's electric or hybrid?
Well, not. I will say that the Q5 Audi that has it's a plug-in hybrid, does not have one-pedal driving to that degree. However, there is a definite, if you take your foot off the pedal, there is a computer that is telling braking system to increase the braking force, but not to a point of stopping, versus letting the car coast freely when you're going down a hill.
It does slow it down a bit, or not?
Well, not significantly enough to have you slowing down the vehicle. You could just feel the friction, so to speak, of the brake of the car being its speed being inhibited from increasing going down a hill, but it's not really slowing down below what you may be coasting at. You just can feel that, oh, okay, it's now charging the battery, but it's not doing anything to slow me down enough so that I do not need to use the brake pedal.
So both with hybrids and electric vehicles, it seems like some of the German manufacturers, like Audi, I guess, but I can also attest to this with Porsche and Mercedes, there is only mild
regenerative braking
when getting off the accelerator in an electric car, and most cars you can tune that and adjust it to your preferences.
All the Teslas can stop, right, without using the brake pedal.
They can pretty much stop. And it is a good feature because you are charging the batteries when you are, you know, just lifting off the accelerator, and I'm not seeing the gas, and not using the brakes. It saves on brake wear, and it recharges the batteries. And if you do it smoothly, and here's the key, you can make your driving very smooth. And for people who have a tendency to push on the gas, push on the brake, push on the gas, push on the brake, it's a good learning exercise in driving smoothly. And some people just can't get used to it, so they just deactivate the feature.
Where are the adjustment controls, if there are such adjustment controls, so that you can define just how much braking force you get with an electric car, so you either don't come to a stop completely, but you do regenerate enough power so that going down a steep hill, let's say we go down what I call Smith Hill on the way to Canaan, there used to be people that would stop at the bottom and then at the top of the hill and start coasting down the hill to see how fast they got going at the end of the hill part onto the flats. And the person that did this to find out what his car would do, ended up going 75 miles an hour from a complete stop at the top of Smith Hill to the bottom where I guess he maxed out at 75, or maybe it was 80. This would be where you might control the degree of friction in the braking of an electric car if you had a paddle control on the steering wheel, maybe, Jay? Is that where the Tesla control would be?
I think it varies from car to car. I mean, you have to go into settings and change that. But speaking of paddles, I drove recently a hybrid Mercedes and realized that when you use the paddles in electric mode, it actually acted on the regen and you could slow the car down. And if you ticked the left paddle once, it would slow it down a little bit. Ticked the left paddle a second time, it slowed more, but it never brought it to a complete stop.
Right.
There's also the issue of whether the taillights are going on or not.
I do not know whether that's happening or not. It's worth having somebody follow you on your phone connection sometime to see whether that happens. I think that in Audi's situation, Audi has a very good active braking system for keeping you on cruise control at the set speed, even if you're going down a hill like Smith Hill, so that you don't coast up significantly above, if at all, above the speed you've set your cruise control at. So if you set it at 50 coming around the approaching the top of Smith Hill and go down, you will have active braking. You can feel the car braking as it will not let it coast up to 70 or even 55. But that's not an electric car. That's a fossil fuel car. But that's an active braking system. The system on the Jeep Cherokees is useless as far as I'm concerned about holding a set speed on your cruise control. What it does is it downshifts a 9-speed transmission, which may be in 7 or 8 or 6 or 7. And as far as I can tell, with these 9-speed transmissions, there is very little braking effect that you can actually find usefully braking the vehicle. And we've gotten off the electric vehicle situation here, audience, but the cruise control tries to keep you at a speed you set in the Jeep Cherokees that I have, but the 9-speed transmission is useless in terms of getting it down, getting the engine revs up in a significant fashion to actually control the speed of the car going down the hill. What it generally does is it goes down and your RPMs go up to the rev limiters, but it does not use an active braking system. It tries to use the engine braking system, which is useless.
So
and
not
I don't know how many other cars...
Tangent. Now that we're on this tangent, let me ask you this. Do you use cruise control a lot?
I do. I use it a lot.
I never use it, ever.
I find it very useful. I'm an active driver, so I'm very conscious that I'm in cruise control. And the thing about using it, I mean, I'll use it at 45 miles an hour or 55 between Sharon and Lakeville.
So here's the irony. I'm a firm believer in self-driving cars, and I never use cruise control. You find all the reasons in the world to be opposed to self-driving cars, as far as we know, unless you change your mind, and yet you use cruise control. Where's the logic here?
What logic are you trying to address for our audience?
You don't believe in self-driving cars,
that's
and yet
true.
You use cruise control.
Yeah, I don't believe in self-driving cars because I don't like the idea of being able to take your hands off the wheel and do nothing. That's the part of the self-driving I don't like.
You're perfectly willing to take your foot off the pedals.
I would use cruise control in an electric car, and I have when I've driven a Tesla. It's fine.
Yeah, so
it's like using a fossil fuel car. But I won't take my hands off the wheel and try to read a book because I've got.
What do you do with your right foot when you put you're in cruise control?
When you use your right foot, on the brake.
No. But what do you do?
It deactivates the cruise control.
Okay. Once you're in cruise control mode, I'm asking you, where does your right foot go?
I don't know where my right foot goes. Actually, probably just on the foot on the floor pan below the accelerator.
So if you need to stomp on the brakes.
It's not hard for me to go to the brake and hit the brake as fast as I would if I were on cruise control.
But the time
I don't have
like
a problem with it. I don't know what your problem with driving is, but I would guess it's something that lazy leg or something.
Well, but it's the same. I'm arguing the pedal is, you know, the same time it would take maybe to take your hand off the center console and put it back on the steering wheel. My point is, if you can deal with one, you should be able to deal with the other. I don't do either. I don't use cruise control.
Well, I guess we're getting into the area of are all the drivers like us, and I don't think many of our audience is probably driving as actively driving as we are. I don't know that for a fact, but judging from what I see going by me, I don't think people are spending much time sometimes watching the road when they're watching their phones and whatever else they're doing to be distracted from actually wondering where their foot is. Is it right close to the brake pedal so they can get it there real quickly? Are their hands off the wheel so they can get it real quickly I don't know the answer to that question, Jay.
I was just asking about what you were doing.
Anyway, what else?
Anyway.
You had some questions and Q&As you wanted to put on the show?
No, I think, I just did a little segment of Q&A with you, but what else do you have in mind?
Well, the usual situation is I opened the show with discussing about possibly having some snow shortly after this show has been heard or held, or maybe even before the show is heard. And it'll be, we'll see what happens to the road surfaces. Obviously, the answer is they're going to get slippery because the snow starts getting the surfaces slippery before the trucks are actually out, sometimes applying snow melt treatment to the surfaces. I do not know whether the state of Connecticut is using the liquid pre-storm application the way they used to do it. I think they did it last year, and they might have done it a couple of years before that, but I'm not sure it's been used continuously. Whatever chemical it is, you used to be able to see up to 3, 4 to 5 or 6 lines of something that had been applied to the road and showed up in white, sort of how effective it actually was in terms of melting the snow upon the first contact of snow falling from the sky or not. But I think it was a very corrosive material, which is not scientifically correct necessarily, that if you didn't wash the undersides of your cars, because this stuff would probably come off the surface of the road and get splashed up under your car chassis, you really needed to pay attention to doing under car washes, which is something I could say to the salt applications too around here, although I must say that the newer cars seem to have far more corrosive resistance, maybe because of different materials underneath than they used to have back in, 40 years ago or less.
Speaking of new cars, anything out there that excites you?
No, I'm not excited by much of the new cars. I'm less excited, as I've said to our listeners before, about the new full-width lighting systems that are showing up. I will say that I put my high beams on very angrily the other night manually. I had to hold the high beam lever on because it was the automatic lighting system that tends to automatically dim your lights so you don't have to. As one of these, I think it was a pickup truck, came with not only the headlights very bright, but those light bars that you talked about recently
that
was across between the headlights, and they were LEDs, and I couldn't read how many LEDs there were, but it was a bar. It seemed to be about 2.5 feet wide, and it was very annoying. Blinding, if it was supposed to be aimed lower to not blind the oncoming driver.
And, I have a problem with
more and more people are putting these lighting systems on their pickups. I must say it's mostly pickups, I think. There's for off-road use only, supposedly, but people seem to like to turn them on, and they are very distracting at nighttime driving. I find it very hard and difficult to see some of the side lines, too, at nighttime, especially when they fade after they've been applied, which they seem to do too quickly, and that may be in terms of several weeks after they've been applied or after the rains have come. And I'm noting that driving at night and maybe aging eyes, part of it, but it's also all these different lighting systems are becoming very distracting because they're not synonymous between vehicles. We'll come back with more comments about driving in the next edition of Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.